Your day has just begun. Yeah. But for DJ and PK, they're just hitting their stride. It's time for all your headlines from the night in sports. As DJ and PK tell you what's trending.
Are you ready?
On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Yeah. Hashtag Utah Jazz.
Forrest knocks the pass away, steals it. Forrest to the rim. Forrest to the layup. Nice. Trent Forrest with a steal and a bucket. He had four the other night. House, quick release three. Knew he had it. Backpedaling the other way before it goes down. And Daniel House is feeling it. He's got 14. Butler pulls back on a three. Hit it. Oh, Jared Butler. Don't do me like that.
Suns have scrambled with the basketball. Drives over to the left side. Hands it out to Booker. Three-pointer. Shoots it. Ball way out on the perimeter now. He launches a three. Shoots it. Oh, brother. What can you say about CP3? Ball will bring it up front. Ball drives the left side. Ball has a 15-footer. Give it to him. Chris Paul. What a ball game. What a player.
Chris Paul, what a ball game, what a player. Devin Booker, they combine for 60 friggin' points, and the Jazz go down. The Jazz, such as they are. Riley Jensen joining me as DJ's on his soccer retreat. Wow, man. Can you believe that the Jazz have had just basically a casual attitude toward the regular season? Here's where you talk.
It's been a really, really interesting season for the Jazz, and I don't know where to lay my hat. I don't know where to think about it, other than the one thing that was nice to see last night is to see guys that haven't been playing all year come in and play really, really hard. But when you got somebody like CP3 and Devin Booker, at the end of the game, it's what they do in the fourth quarter, right? They take it over. They let everybody get involved with the game all game long, and then they're like, okay, so now it's time for me to win the game.
Yeah, and Paul at pushing 38, playing 40 minutes. We'll see what he's got tomorrow night when they come here. And I know we're supposed to come in here and praise the young guys for playing hard and all that. And I get that Conley is all of 34, but he needs as much time off as possible. And Chris Paul is 38, or approaching 38, if he's not already 38, and he can go 40 minutes. Conley needs to sit out. And I get that Gobert was hurt, and I get Bogdanovich has the finger issue, and Mitchell has a concussion. I understand all that, but what about O'Neal and Ingles? Let's just sit everybody out. What the hell? I mean, I'm surprised at the casual attitude towards the regular season. I know we're supposed to come in here and say the young guys played so hard, and boy, it was great to see them give that gutty effort, and they really battled hard, and I'm so proud of them. I know that's the party line that we're supposed to say. And I'll say that too, fine. But I'm still surprised at the cavalier attitude towards the regular season.
Is that a surprise to you because it's the Jazz organization or at the NBA in general?
It's certainly not unique to the Jazz by any stretch.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like this seems to be more and more the attitude.
Oh, there's
the
no question. There's no question. But you look back, I mean, you grew up here. I did not. So you can speak to the days of the Iron Man when 82 was expected. And, you know, I called up Thurl Bailey's basketball reference. He came into the league in 83, 22 years old. His first nine seasons, he missed a total of four games in his first nine seasons total. But that's reduced by only two because when he got traded in 91-92, he played in 84 games and there's only 82.
The real Iron Man.
That's a good point. I mean, look, the old phrase, like your best ability is availability, it seems like it's kind of like a phrase of the past now. Because if you're good enough, you don't have to play every game now.
Oh, no, it's not expected. And the playoffs matter, and if they win in the playoffs, who cares what happened on July or January 24th? I understand it completely.
You're acting really old school, like an old codger that's like kind of angry about everything. Wait, is that just normal?
Way to go, guys. You played so hard. I'm happy. Wow, you played hard. You're really, is that what you want? Is that what people want from me? I've only been doing this for 20 years. If they want me to do that, I can do that. Hell, I want to be popular like every TV guy, too. I can do that if that's what you want.
You're very popular, PK.
I'm popular in a different way. I mean, I can cheerlead, too, and just go. I mean, what the heck? I can do that. So, I mean, the guys in Forest look good. I give them that. Yeah, I'm just looking. And I'm not criticizing the Jazz individually by any stretch. And even if I were, I don't care. But I'm not. That's not the point. So, I also found it strange that Rudy Gay, Daniel House, you got to go UL, and Whiteside, the three front court starters, all of them are 4-for-9. When's the last time that ever happened? They're all 4-for-9 from the field. That's crazy. What a stat. All of them 4-for-9. And it was a decent game. I enjoyed watching it. So I was fine with that. Suns were without two starters. We overlooked that. Just our guys.
Hey, leave that part out, okay?
I mean, you know, every team the Jazz go up against is 100% with not any injuries whatsoever. We casually overlooked that.
If I were playing for the Jazz and I were a starter, my argument to the effort and that everything that happened with the new guys coming in is like, well, sure, they're playing for another team right now.
They're playing for survival in the league.
They are. Of course they're going to play their hardest because they want to have a contract at the end of this year. They want to have a contract at the end of 2 years and be in the league as long as they can. Where myself, you know, if let's say I'm one of the starters, obviously I'm not, but I'm saying if in my mindset, I'd be like, well, okay, it's a long season. I'm playing a marathon here. I'm not playing a sprint. These guys get to play a sprint whenever they come in.
I'm
playing a marathon.
And it was great. It was good to see them get in. Forrest look good. Looks like he's developing into a nice NBA player. We'll see if House has been around the league a little bit. Clarkson's already established. So those are just my thoughts. You can disagree. I've got no problem. I get disagreement every day. I put it out there. So the Jazz are back in action tomorrow. Tip-off, it's late. Oh, it must be an ESPN game, huh?
8 o'clock game, ESPN.
8 o'clock. If you want to come down to the arena and see them play, 8 o'clock against the Suns. And the Suns are just absolutely freaking rolling, man. They got, 38-9 now? And that's 8-game lead over the Jazz. Goodbye, number one record. But in the playoffs, you know, see what happens. All right, there you go. That's your Jazz, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Hashtag NBA. Garland on the left side in the middle of the love. Open three. Good! Oh, the New York Knicks are getting a whole lot of love.
Nikhil, kick it to Josh. Left wing three on the way. Instant dividends!
Well, I'm going to say his ankle's okay.
That's your first made three from someone other than Devontae Graham tonight.
Turned it over, Brown to Green with a Euro step and a right-handed power dunk. Oh my goodness, that was sick. Javonte Green with a slam, and the Bulls are running on Duncan. My goodness.
Bulls are running on Duncan? Tim Duncan? What are they talking about?
running and Duncan.
Oh, running and Duncan. I thought they were running on Duncan.
That'd just be inappropriate. I mean, the guy retired a long time ago.
He did. The Bulls squeaking by the OKC Thunder by 1 point. Bulls got a ton of injury issues themselves, man. They're just missing, lots of guys. Lonzo Ball is out. My man Caruso got smacked to the ground by former Jazz guy Grayson Allen. And he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. LaVine came back, though. He had been out, and he had 23-7. Some guy I've never even heard of. Dosunmu. 24 points. When I looked at that last night, I had to look him up. 10 of 14. Having himself a ball game. Speaking of guys coming in and getting an opportunity, he's a kid out of Illinois. Born in 2000. Makes him only 22 years of age. And that's cool to see. It's cool to see
guys. When did you guys start this show?
What are you talking about?
DJ and PK?
6 o'clock.
What year? Oh. I think you've been doing this show longer than he's been alive.
2002. He's got us by 2 years.
All right.
Let's see. A couple other games. Cavs win. Kevin Love, 20 points. I wonder if he'll stay there. I think I did see a thing somewhere that the Cavs want some veteran guys. and they had a picture. They superimpose now. They had a picture of five guys in Cav uniforms, and one of them was our dear friend Joe Ingles, saying that the Cavs would be interested in a shooter off the bench. Trade deadline is about 2 weeks away now. So what? Today's Tuesday, so it's 16 days. And the Cavs have been a great success story this season for them as far as probably what they're expected to do and what they are doing. And they've got a great young nucleus. And so you could see where they would be interested in some potential veteran help because their starting lineup is very young and they're 10 games over 500. I mean, they sucked for years. Well, yeah, after LeBron took off. This is his fourth year, so for at least 3 years. And then obviously before he went back the second time, they weren't any good. But, you know, you draft right, you make the right moves, and you can be competitive. And this is like their first year being competitive. And at this point, 10 games over 500 at 29-19, that's pretty doggone good. They're only a game and a half out of first place because if you look at the East, you go all the way down to sixth place with Philly, and they're 2.5 behind the Miami Heat. So that is all jumbled up.
Right.
Talking about how the West has had some separation now with the Suns being 3.5 games above the Warriors, and it doesn't look like the Warriors would be all that interested in getting the best record. And then Memphis, 6.5. The Jazz are 1.5 behind Memphis, only 1.5 above the Mavs. So the Jazz don't look like they've got a prayer, and it doesn't look like they care about having the best record in the league anyway. So we'll see how that plays out. But the East is all jumbled up, which from a fan perspective makes it exciting. We'll see what happens there. I'm intrigued to see. Put on your GM hat. You trading Joe Ingles, Riley S. Jensen?
Well, I was going to ask you the question while you were talking. How difficult is that as a pro athlete that, you know, you're 2 weeks out, 3 weeks out from trade deadline and there's all these rumors swirling?
I think it's got to suck. If your name is being out there, and Joe's acknowledged it. He acknowledged it last Thursday. He's acknowledged it, I think, the week before last. So it's two out of the last 3 weeks when he's come on. He's talked about it.
Yeah, and if he's talking about it, certainly something that's on his mind.
Yeah, of course it is.
And
he's got his kids here in school and everything and therapy with the one son, and he doesn't want to have to uproot it. I couldn't imagine that. And you virtually have no say in it.
Well, and I guess the answer to your question is it depends, which is kind of a cop-out, right? But it depends on what you're getting back.
Play it safe, Riley. Come on.
But it really does depend on what you're getting back. I'm not sure that Cleveland has something that I really, really want that would force my hand to
probably
trade.
Probably not, because they're looking to get better, not to dish off people. All right, there you go. It's your NBA. Let's move on, Yoxter.
Hashtag college basketball.
Riley Jensen's Weber State Wildcats beat SUU in a battle in the Big Sky, 92-84. Way to go. Jawara, 25 points. That's a big game for them. They moved to 7-1 in conference. The Thunderbirds fall to 5-2.
Well, that game got a little bit dicey at the end with some free throws and some missed shots. I think Weber State went 1-for-2 on free throws for like the last four possessions, which made things really, really interesting there at the end.
You work with Weber State, don't you?
I do. Weber State Athletics and their athletics department. And there's a few different players and obviously the teams that I all work with or that I work with.
You work with men's basketball?
I do. Some good, good players there. And I'm always interested when I'm watching teams develop. You're talking about really good individuals, too. Just people that are good teammates, people that play hard. And I think Randy Ray's got this thing back on track again. He's going in the right direction.
Well, if you look at Randy Ray's record, his track record, that's usually what happens. There may be a season in there where they slip a little bit, but then he comes back. I mean, he's done this multiple times. This guy's a mainstay.
No, there's no question he's a mainstay. I think part of the thing that's difficult about college sports right now is NIL and basically free agency without contracts and all these different things. I mean I know that before Dylan Jones left last year, like there was conversations that he was going to have like five offers, and he did, and he still came back to Randy Ray, right? So I mean, he offers from from Butler. He had offers from a lot of different schools to just go ahead and go.
Yeah.
But he loves Randy Ray. Who knows what happens this year? You know what I mean? But that's a really, really good young player. There's some really, really good talent on that team.
Cool. We'll see what happens there when we get to March and which team is going to represent the Big Sky in the NCAA tournament. Right now, Weber's got an excellent chance, and I wouldn't rule out Southern Utah either. That's your college basketball right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Hashtag NFL.
Football is extremely important in my life, and it means a lot to me, and I care a lot about what we're trying to accomplish as a team, and I care a lot about my teammates. And the biggest difference now that I'm older is I have kids now too, you know, and I care about them a lot as well. You know, they've been my biggest supporters. My wife is my biggest supporter. It pains her to see me get hit out there. And, you know, she deserves what she needs from me as a husband. My kids deserve what they need from me as a dad.
You obviously said you guys want Aaron, or you want Aaron back, and you want him to retire here. Is that the final organizational decision on that? Or is there still, you know, some debate about, you know, that you guys have to have to make sure you guys want to move forward with him for another year?
No, every conversation I've been involved in with Goody and Russ and Mark, we're all on the same page there. So there's no debate.
That's Tom Brady. His kids are special to him. Good for you, Tom. Your wife's special to you. Good for you, Tom. That puts you in the category of everybody else. And you can decide, because you're rich beyond belief, if you want to be there 24/7 or if you want to continue with the job. And he's earned that right. I hope he comes back.
You're saying it's first world problems?
Well,
meaning you know, I mean, not everybody has that choice.
You've got a family. Good for you.
He's just setting up the drama for the comeback. Come on, man.
No, he's answering questions and he's speaking from the heart. I've got no problem with that. It just that puts him in no other category that thousands of millions of us aren't in. My old man loved me just as much as Tom loved his kids, and he worked two jobs. My whole life, he
should have made more money.
He was a janitor in the day, and he was a janitor at night.
He should have made more money.
And my high school baseball games, he'd come over and sit in the car because he had to get back to one of his jobs. So, good for Tom. Way to go. I hope he comes back. And that's LaFleur on Aaron Rodgers, as that saga is going to continue. Aaron Rodgers is my favorite player in the NFL. He has been for a number of years. I'm not a...
Why?
Because I just like the way he plays, man. I love great quarterbacking. I mean, I can do without all the drama, but I like...
That's what I was going to say. Does off the field play any role in how you feel about athletes?
Not really, no. Because if I did that, and I talked about this yesterday...
Then you can pick everybody apart?
Yeah. It's like with politics. If I get on that train, then I have to go. You never get off. You're constantly on it. And the president called some Fox guy an SOB, and now we got to see all these tweets of when the Democratic side, the liberal side, criticized the other guy because he called somebody an SOB. And then you just go back and forth forever. And nobody wins. Everybody loses. So I choose not to get on that train.
You choose the mantra of you're a jerk, I'm a jerk, let's all just get over it.
Okay.
And move forward.
Yeah. So where does it end with the off the field? Am I going to, because somebody says something in their personal life, now I'm no longer going to like that sport? I never got in when they knelt. Kneel all you want. Whatever. I don't care. I watch football because I like football. And these other dudes, when the bubble came and they had the shirts on and blah, blah, blah. In the end, that ain't going to do jack squat. You know, the guy in the hood who needs help, you can kneel all you want. What difference is that going to make? I want ground level stuff. You know, Donovan Mitchell preaches about education. Good job, my man, because that's going to make the difference. All this other stuff is cosmetic. And Aaron Rodgers can do and say whatever he wants. I like watching him play football. I hope he comes back. I'd prefer not the drama, but I was watching, what was it, Saturday night? And I was surprised that the Packers struggled as much as they did. I was rooting for them to win because I like to watch Aaron Rodgers play. I love to see the best be at their best. To me, that's what turns me on as a sports fan.
So tell me this. So you don't care what they do off the field, but when somebody like Najee Harris is going back to the homeless shelter that he grew up in, and he's like, awesome. Does that help you to cheer for him more because it is ground level?
I can buy that. I can buy that. Absolutely. Good point.
Because I thought that was pretty cool.
No question.
And he goes back there every year. He had his draft party there. At that place.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I understand a little bit about the foster system, so I appreciate that 100%. I will agree with that, absolutely. And when Mitchell talks about education, I want to give him a hug because he is spot on, absolutely.
He can give me a hug.
When you talk about education.
I think education is very important. In fact, I'm going to talk about education all day this morning. I mean, I'm expecting at least 20 hugs today.
Okay. Get your mask on. All right, let's move on to MLB.
Hashtag Major League Baseball.
We got progress. The MLB Players Association and the ownership, all those folks, plan to meet today. They had a Monday bargaining session. And, says right here, first sliver of progress between the two sides in the lockout. That's cool. Face-to-face meetings lasted about 2 hours. Yeah. I mean, that bothers me. I don't. You're playing a kid's game. Get out there. Spring training's coming up in about, 3-4 weeks? And I would like to, particularly growing up in Arizona in my teen years, and to see how much that meant to the economy. I mean, that's the fallout on this stuff is, you know, restaurants and hotels and stuff. Because, I mean, you go to the Valley of the Sun in March, and you might as well be in Little Chicago. I mean, the amount of Cub fans that come out of the woodworks that are already there or want to come to Chicago, from Chicago or wherever they're coming from where the weather sucks, and to get some sunshine after not having it in warm temps. It's incredible. And I always loved it. March was always my favorite month when I lived there. And when I lived there, it wasn't near the stuff that it is now, although I've been to spring training probably 15 times since I moved away. So I understand it. And I would just like to see that continue. And there's a lot of people who rely on that. So it'd be cool if they can get this done. So make that happen for me, Riley, okay?
I'll do what I can. I'll be in the meetings.
Then we got MLB is expanding automated strike zone experiment to AAA, which obviously is the highest level. Posted a hiring notice seeking seasonal employees to operate automated ball strike system at the AAA clubs, which includes our Salt Lake Bees. So what does he yell down? Hey, Mac, that's a strike! How will that work?
It's a robot that just calls it out behind the plate.
No, well, no, you have it there. He's sitting in the press box. He yells it out. Ah! Strike!
That would be funny.
I said what I said.
That's a ball! Well, so, tell the computer it's blind!
So we're just taking the human element out of this? Like, no fights, no spitting on each other, no kicking dirt on anybody? Well, like, isn't that part of the fun?
I think it is. But you're going old school there, old-timer.
Yeah, dude, listen, just because I called you an old codger doesn't mean I don't have, like, codger tendencies.
That stuff has gone away a lot. The Earl Weavers coming out and yelling, and Tom Lasorda and Billy Martin kicking dust or dirt on the plate.
Lou Piniella.
Piniella was a hothead. Yeah. Oh, sure. And that was way entertaining to the fans. They love that stuff. But you don't, with the automatic instant replay, I should say, you don't really get that anymore anyway. They just go to the replay, so a lot of that stuff we've taken out. So, and yeah, if you're going to go to the automation with the balls and strikes, then that's one of the last respites of arguing.
So, to be honest with you, I haven't seen this. Like, what does the robot look like? Like, is he? You don't know.
I don't know, actually.
That's some box they're going to have.
I mean, are we gonna,
inside that box, it's a strike.
I know, but are we going to go real techie? Like really have like a robot behind?
I don't think we're going to have a robot because then foul balls, they'd be running into the robot on pop flies and whatnot.
That's a good point.
So I would assume it would be done upstairs.
They run into refs anyway and umpires.
Yeah, well, I have a mixed feeling on that. I'm willing to try it at the AAA level or any minor league level, see how it goes. I think baseball needs to not overhaul, but certainly needs to modify a lot of the things that they got going on to make the game more appealing to the youngsters. Because as you know, Riley, soccer is taking over.
Soccer rules the world.
Oh, I don't think it's just this world either.
Look, I run a little independent football camp in the spring, just trying to get green space in this state is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The soccer teams have it all.
And what? How old are they?
Like 8, 9. Right.
Because at that age, 5. It's easy to do. It's a hell of a lot easier to do that than to stand in the batter's box and strike out.
That's a good point.
That's a lesson in life. Soccer, they delay lessons in life.
So you're saying, if you want to learn how to do hard things, play baseball, he says.
Stand in the batter's box and have everybody look at you. And mommy and daddy can't help you at that point.
And you can't hide.
Right. We're in soccer, you can just kind of kick the ball a little. Go, Johnny, kick the ball. Way to go, Johnny.
Remember how Ethan, Tanner, and Sterling.
Yeah, you're the author of that.
What?
Ethan, Tanner, and Sterling playing soccer, buddy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you're BS. And I know why you're BSing me now. And if you ever have any doubt on anybody's agenda, follow the money. Boom, there you go. What is Trending is brought to you by Shamrock Plumbing. There is no job too big or too small. Get the personal touch with Shamrock Plumbing. You can call them at 801-295-1690. 295-1690. That's Shamrock Plumbing. All right, coming up, we're going to get into transfers. There's a big name still out there. And where is he going? To Mississippi? We'll see what Riley Jensen knows. Stay with us, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hot Takes or Toast is brought to you by my friends at Zero Res. Zero Res is the only carpet cleaner for a smarter, lasting clean. Zero Res padded processes use only water to clean, meaning no crunchy carpets and spot-free carpet that is safe for the whole family. Schedule your carpet cleaning today by calling 801-288-9376, 288-ZERO, or booking online at ZeroResSaltLake.com, or if you're up north, it's Zero Res Davis Weber. .com. All right, my hot take, Riley Jensen sitting in, is that Jackson's Dart's going to Mississippi to play for Kiffin.
That's your hot take?
Yeah.
Your inside sources are telling you?
Yeah.
Yeah? Is she better looking than you?
Well, everybody is, except you.
But that's a recent event.
I got all my hair. You told me that this morning.
I know. Dude, that's just filthy how much hair you have. It's really good-looking stuff.
I know. I lucked out there. And my father had a full head of hair, and it never turned gray until like he was like 80.
Dude, my dad's like the silver fox, and he still has all his hair. And I'm sitting here looking at him. My brother's like, we're going, what happened to us? What happened?
I have a friend who I played a little ball with. He might be listening. And gosh, he was virtually, you could see it like 21, 22, man. He's not long for hair, right?
Yeah.
And so he gets married, and he moves out of town, takes a job with an automobile dealer, and moves out to where nobody knows him, right? And so he's got this wife, and they're like a year apart, maybe tops. And people thought that was his daughter. Because he looked way older because he was so prematurely bald. And then he has a brother who is like less than 18 months older. Full dome of hair.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't get it. Yeah. I don't get how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Don't text me. Don't tweet at me. It's genetics, Riley. I mean, I get it. I just don't get it.
I understand.
It exists with my brothers. I have two brothers younger than me that are nearing bald.
Yeah.
They get mad at me because I've still got a pretty much bald.
I don't know how it works, but I can see my.
You guys don't know.
I can see my reflection right now, and I'm looking good.
There's people that walk around and curse you.
On this very staff, they curse us. It's a midday show that is very.
Never had to color it. It stayed basically. I used to be blonde as a youngster.
Same here.
Then over time, it morphed into the more brown, and then it's basically just stayed this way the whole time.
Looking good, PK. Looking good. No, it's interesting. I think this whole Jackson Dart saga is interesting. I'm interested as to why it's taken this long because I'm sitting here going, wait, haven't we been into the semester for 2 weeks now? Like how long are we going to be in this place?
Yeah, I was told that he couldn't play spring ball at BYU. It's too late.
Really?
Yeah,
he'd have to be enrolled already.
And it starts in a month.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that BYU is ever a real option?
I think they have been a option.
That's an option.
An option. My apologies.
So if you have the vowel that starts the word, you have to use the N.
I just stepped into the DJ role today.
So you don't go, you have to put the N there.
Come on, yuck.
So it's an option, not a option. Jeez, you people from Utah.
English.
I've seen that.
Mountain.
We was fixing to do it.
Go to the crick.
Sure,
I love to sleep on my pillow and drink milk.
I think he considered it. Why wouldn't he?
I don't know. Why waste
their time?
I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering if it was a real option.
I don't know. You would know more than I do.
Well, I think that this whole scenario is just for the next couple of years, this is going to be the wild, wild west on this kind of stuff. And I think the dust is going to settle and coaches are going to find the rhythm on exactly how they want to do this. But just yesterday, I was talking to a Division I football
coach. Just yesterday morning?
Just yesterday. I was talking to a Division I football coach who was telling me that he's never seen more high-quality high school players that are still left. And he's having to, like, really earn his money right now and really earn these guys because so many people have jumped into the portal. And he doesn't know where he stands yet. He's like, I'm trying to do a little bit of both. But this is craziness, trying to figure out how to leave enough scholarships for the portal, get the high school kids I want to get. But honestly, I'm seeing guys that I've never seen before that are left at this time of year in the high school ranks because everybody's trying to go into the portal and figure everything out. So back to Jackson Dart, it's going to be really interesting to see what he chooses. I know that Lane Kiffin wants him really, really bad. Like, he's... The word that I heard was that that Lane Kiffin wasn't super happy that they left Oxford, Mississippi without signing the scholarship.
Getting the commitment, yeah.
Right. Like, he wanted that commitment. That doesn't mean that he doesn't still want him.
Sure.
But this has been a big deal. I've heard with Jackson that Georgia came in late, that they're wanting to give him a trip. And I think the thing that would be difficult for Jackson right now is you want to go to a place where you can play immediately or at least compete immediately for the job, right?
Should be anywhere, though, but shouldn't it?
Well, you would think, but when you're talking about Alabama or Georgia, you're talking about a quarterback that just won a national championship and a quarterback that just won the Heisman. If he went to those places, I mean, do you think they're just going to open it up for him? I don't know.
Georgia annually likes to put Stetson Bennett on the bench.
Why wouldn't they? You play the best player.
Why wouldn't you versus... should you are two different questions.
They are two different questions. Definitely, I would agree with that.
I mean, I think that there's things that happen out of loyalty to people. But, you know, then you take into consideration, like, okay, so Stetson Bennett is tiny. The quarterback at Alabama is tiny, won the Heisman. Mm-hmm. And you go, well, he could get hurt. You know, you could make that argument at BYU. Well, Jaren Hall is really good, but he hasn't made it through a season yet, right?
Hasn't come close.
But that's not exactly the things that I think somebody like Jackson Dart would want to hear going in. I don't think Jackson Dart's expecting to start. He's expecting a fair fight. That's why he transferred from USC, in my opinion, is it was never going to be a fair fight if Caleb Williams comes in, right? Because you've got Coach Riley there. He's already coached him at Oklahoma. Even if Jackson Dart were to win the job at USC, he would have a short rope. So he's just looking for a fair fight where his arms aren't behind his back as he's fighting someone.
But he thought he was going to get that at SC a year ago. So he took the stars and ran. So how do you know what the situation is going to be? Situation today, obviously, situation at SC changed dramatically.
But you think
Kiffin is going to be there his whole time?
I don't know.
Right. That's my point.
I mean, nobody knows that.
Right.
I mean, I think part of the reason why Jackson Dart chose USC over UCLA is because he thought that USC was more stable because they had almost fired Chip Kelly the year before.
Well, I mean, that was silly. I mean, Clay Helton has been, before the ink was dry, he was going to get fired.
I know, but they were talking very, very loud at USC or at UCLA about Chip Kelly being gone.
Yeah, but
after that meltdown to USC last year at the end of the season, I mean, they thought he was going to get fired.
I know, but if you're going to go and do that, I just don't know.
Well, no, but that's
everything,
what I'm saying.
The parameters change.
But there's no stability.
Fair today
is
there isn't, so... You know, why worry about that?
Yeah, but because you can only pick about today.
I get
you can't predict the future. So why try to predict it? Lane Kiffin might not be there. Well, he's just saying I want a fair fight when I go to spring ball. That's it. That's as far into the future as you can go. Can you go any further than that?
Yeah, but that didn't apply to Chip Kelly because he could have. By the time he was in camp, he could have got out of it.
Well, look,
he could have signed in December.
I'm not speaking for Jackson Dart.
And stayed the whole time. Chip Kelly gets fired in June.
Maybe that's the lesson that you learn when you're in Division I football is like, nothing's going to stay.
Well, that lesson shouldn't be learned. It should just be a fact. That sun rises in the east. I don't need to learn it. I already know
you're smarter than 99%
of us. No, I mean, his dad
us.
Obviously knew that. Come on. I was a pathetic athlete. His dad played. He's got to understand that.
Just because a guy played doesn't mean he has all the answers.
Nobody has all the answers, but that's my whole point. This is obvious. There is no stability. The only consistency is inconsistency.
Right. So, Lane Kiffin might be gone. Either way, I mean, look. He had. I guess when he went into the transfer portal, there was 32 teams that reached out to him within an hour.
I can understand why.
Yeah, 32 teams. I mean, those are good options. Those are first world problems, right? Like, oh man, I'm all stressed out. I mean, Georgia called, Ole Miss called, Oklahoma called. I mean, that's a tough gig.
Oh yeah, yeah. I happened to be in that situation years ago with multiple offers, and it is. I don't make light of it. It is a stressful thing, and I agree with him for getting out of SC because that doesn't seem like it's fair. The quarterback is coming. And the coach, and they had success. So it looks like you're going to be slanted towards Williams. So right. I get it. I get that completely.
This is one part of this story that I think people don't understand with NIL and with, you know, this ease of transferring and all that, is that the ability for agents to talk to people now is much different than when I was in college. It's much different than it was 5 years ago.
No question.
So when you're talking to somebody or you're talking to Jackson Dart, and maybe there's a few agencies, I don't know how many agencies could possibly talk to his parents, but if they're all saying to you, I think this really changes things. If they're all saying to you, it doesn't matter whether Jackson comes out after his junior year or his senior year, he's projected to be a top three quarterback in both of those classes. He needs to be playing. That has an effect on whether you transfer or not. Because all these kids that play college football, the goal is to play in the NFL.
Sure.
Shoot, there's guys. I mean, Jordan Love made it to the NFL, but there's a whole bunch of quarterbacks that played at Utah State long before Jordan Love that wanted to play in the NFL and thought that if it was just their season, if everything came together just right, that they were going to have a chance to play in the NFL.
Uh-huh.
So if an agency comes in now and talks to you and says, hey, you're projected to be top three, you've got to be on the field developing next year, it changes the way you think about transfer. It changes the way that you think about things that are happening.
Okay.
And so I think that's a different perspective. Some of these kids are transferring because they know that they're going to be part of the NFL as long as things stay status quo as to where they were.
All right, we'll delve more into this, and Riley will tell us where he's going. I told you where I think he's going. Riley will tell you where he's going. Stay with us, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is Hanson Scotty.
Let's do it.
NBA Jazz legend Thurl Bailey. As a guy who played against him, I know you are the utmost professional, Thurl. You are nothing but professional, but come on, you kind of have to enjoy a little bit of what's going on with the Lakers right now, right?
I'm loving it. I'm not that professional. No.
There you go.
I'm still a fan, right? But at the same time, I remember those rivalries, and I know probably who the most villainized team still is in Jazz Nation. But, you know, it doesn't always work. You know, you try to build a super team, if that's what they're still calling it. But as much as I'm impressed with what LeBron is doing individually, in answer to your question, yeah.
What kind of a show is this?
Catch Hans Olsen and Scotty G every day from noon to 3 on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Valentine's Day right around the corner. It's coming soon. Take care of that special person in your life with flowers from Jimmy's Flowers. Order early for the best selection at jimmysflowers.com. Jimmysflowers.com. Or you can visit them. Got locations in Bountiful, Layton, or Ogden. Jimmy Flowers. Jimmy's Flowers. That's jimmysflowers.com. All right, I say Ole Miss for this young hotshot. Probably what you think, too, is there such a thing as a quarterback coach or a coordinator, a head coach that can make the quarterback? Is that even possible?
Can a coordinator or a coach make a quarterback?
Yeah. Because it would seem to me that he would go there. He knows the position's open, right? That's for sure. But I think the influence of Lane Kiffin has got to have something to do with it. Why go all the way over there?
I think it does. I think that you can have – I mean, I think that's the whole reason that they call, like, quarterbacks a system quarterback every once in a while. Because coaches do have an effect on how players play because of – how they decide to throw the ball, when they decide to throw the ball, what types of throws they like to make. My gut feeling all the way along has been that Jackson Dart fits in really well with Lane Kiffin, and I don't know why, because I don't know that they're the exact same type personality. I mean, I think Jackson gives you the persona of, like, this California kid. He's got the puka shell necklace on and all that kind of stuff, and you think maybe he's a little bit showy, but if you know him personally, he's super gritty. He's super blue collar. He's super hard worker type kid. And so his persona doesn't really fit to me as far as, like, what you would think the kid with puka shell necklace on would have. Right? Does that make sense? Like, I've never had a kid that I've worked with that plays quarterback that's worked harder than him. I mean, literally, there was a day where the only time of day that they could fit was like an 11 o'clock in the morning on a Friday with me. In, like, it was like July 14th.
Uh-huh.
And Jackson, Brandon, his dad is there. Jackson is there. They're working out, and neither one will pull him off the field. And I'm like, guys, I'm not doing this anymore. We're out of here. It was like 125, like, on the turf. And I'm like, we're not doing this, guys. We're not getting anything done. And neither, it was almost like both of them were looking at each other, and they were like, I'm not going off. I'm not telling him I need to go off. And dad's looking at me like, I'm not telling him to go. And I'm like, fine, time out. I'll be the guy. We're not killing this kid over a workout in the middle of July. Right.
Uh-huh.
And he's that type of a person. Now I say this out loud and we start talking about Jackson, and for some reason it fits to me, but here's the thing you need to understand. I think Jackson Dart is an NFL quarterback, whether he's playing for Lane Kiffin,
right,
or
what
Oklahoma,
getting,
or
that's
whatever.
What, that's
like,
what I'm
I
don't, getting at.
But where I think a coach can do something, I think they can break you. Like, I think they can ruin your chance.
Okay.
So I do think this choice is important, not because Lane Kiffin makes him, or Oklahoma makes him, or Georgia makes him, or whoever else that he's considering out there. But I do think there's places that could, like, be a stumbling block and be, like, not a good place for him to go. Like, I don't think Oregon would be a great place to go right now. You know, like, Bo Nix transferred from Auburn. I would not want to go to Oregon right now. Because you're a quarterback. You got an offensive line-type coach. You know, they've loved this whole, like, persona of the offensive lineman. Who knows what you're going to get up there? You know, it would be so unstable to me as a quarterback. I wouldn't go to Oregon right now.
Okay.
Now, Utah would be somebody that you would consider right now after what happened, but you can't consider him until next year's class or the class after that, because you don't want to sit behind Cam Rising the whole time you're here if you're a big-time quarterback. I think what they're doing at the University of Utah right now is changing their ability to get big-time quarterbacks. If Cam Rising, so you got Huntley that's in the NFL, you got Cam Rising that's playing the way he is. I think Cam Rising is going to make it to the NFL. I don't know how high or how low it ends up being for him, but I think he'll make it to the NFL. Now you got two quarterbacks that have made it to the NFL under Andy Ludwig. Now you're starting to build something there.
For sure.
But it's always going to have to fit in, you know, like 2 years after, you know, Cam Rising has been starting, so that after his junior year, if he decides to declare that, like, I can be the guy that comes in next after that, after sitting for a year at the most, right?
You think it's bad for Dart to sit a year?
Yeah, I do think it's bad.
And why?
Because, like we were talking about earlier, when you have people saying that you're in your ear and people who know, I mean, it's not like people that are just like guessing, like they have a lot of money that's behind that too, by telling him that he's the top two or three quarterback in each class that he could probably go out in. If that's true, he needs as much tape and as much film as possible to get him drafted as high as possible. So it means millions of dollars.
Okay, could I argue, though, that if you're more of a mystery, then that could actually help you?
Yeah, if
you're not as good as we think you are?
So here's what I would say. Yes, like Mark Sanchez would be the guy that, like, is a perfect example of someone who didn't have that much. He only started, like, 1 year at USC. I think he had, like, 16 total starts.
Yeah.
Before he went into the NFL. And so, yeah, it was hidden. It helped him to go higher. But that actually works against quarterbacks now because of Mark Sanchez. Because they all thought he was going to be the guy.
Yeah.
And so the other thing that you have to consider, though, is, like, you know, this isn't an easy game. You have to consider you could possibly get hurt. And I hate to say that word out loud, you know what I mean, when you're talking about quarter. But you have to consider that in that position, you could get hurt. So you need 2 years of starting somewhere. He can go to the NFL after his junior year.
Correct. So he's really redshirt sophomore.
He's really only got 2 years left because he played his freshman year.
Yeah.
So you want to have some good wins and some good, like, you know, trending. So I do think it's important that he plays.
Okay, you talk about Utah sending potentially two kids and they can develop a pipeline. How about BYU? We'll get to that next. Stay with us, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.